most of the people at large in the society, they always have the wrong impressions of Buddhist monk, that this is a bunch of failure people who are lazy to work, begging for the food. And that's not the case. If you were to look into this lifestyle of a Buddhist monk, the lifestyle of a monk, going to go through all kinds of trainings, all kinds of restraint, and the parents will be proud. When I first ordained, my mom and my dad will fly to Thailand every year to just see whether I put on weight or I grow thinner. And that is the parents' love. We cannot deny. Right? And they will always, you know, do you have enough food? Do you have enough cloth, clothing, you know, all kinds of cares? In the eyes of our parents, we are always a small boy. And because it is our parents. But we will never let our parents down because we are living a life of a virtuous one. The life that upholds the precepts, that practice many types of restraint. In this sensory gland, a lot of things lay people can do, we can't do. And this is a kind of restraint we practice. Right? And why do we practice this kind of restraint? It's for the, in support of the purification of our own mind. Because our mind has been all this while being corrupted by all these sensory glands. And we are born because of greed, hatred, and delusions. Everybody is born into this world because we have these three things. We can't deny. But because of the, we call it karma, different karma we bring along. So that's why we have different kinds of outlook, different family background, different culture, all sorts of difference. But the one thing that is in common is this mind state. We have this mind state, we have this, what's so called, this body of ours. We share this common thing, and that is, you are born. Once you are born, you're sure to grow old, aging. You're sure to get sick, and you're sure to die. And this is something you can't deny. This is the truth. This is the universal's truth. Right? And because we never been exposed, we never been told, never hearsay. Right? So we thought that, well, you know, we try to enjoy the best. After all, we don't know. After we die, where we go? Right? And that's why we do a lot of things that is very detrimental to ourselves and to the society as a whole. And that's why we are suffering now. That's why the society that we are staying in is facing all kinds of screws up problems. And because this greed, hatred, and delusions engineered these people's mind. And we are quite lucky because we can be differentiate. We know what is right, what is wrong. We know that this is, you know, for a human being to be born, there's certain kind of fundamental kindness. Goodness is one person. That's why you are born as a human being. So you know how to differentiate, right? What is kind? what should be done, be considerate. It's just that sometimes we are overwhelmed, overcome by all this greed, overcome by hatred, overcome by delusion. That's why we behave, act normally. I use the word not so skillfully. That's why this teaching, the Buddha's teaching, is here. We are here, we read, we have accumulated in the past life barami. That's why the minute in our life, in one time in our life, we've been through all kinds of things, all kinds of experiences, stress, or so-called suffering, right? We are not satisfied with ourselves. And when we read certain documents, certain articles that can strike us, you see, just like a Buddha. When the Buddha was a prince, he enjoyed all kinds of luxurious, all kinds of sensual pleasure. But he wasn't happy. He wasn't happy at all. When he was exposed to all this ugly scene of old age, people with old age, dying people, sick people, and that really strikes him. He never seen before in the palace, but when he saw this kind of sight, and that really made him think, that really triggered him to think, what is this? What is this? Because all the while, our mind has been indulgent in sensual pleasure. Right? We were only alerted to this body when we are sick or we suffered some uncertainty in our life. Failure. Things don't come the way we think it should be. Then we start to get very, sad. Very painful inside, upset about things that's happening to us. Right? And this sadness that arise within us, from where? From this heart of ours, this untrained mind. Untrained mind of ours. That's why we are here to train ourselves. We are here to discipline. To discipline ourselves. That's why we observe the precept. That's why we have all this called what patipat, all this so-called training, small little rules to train, to guide the mind, to have that kind of responsibility in oneself, in whatever thing. If you were to look into the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha is very, very refined. If you were to look in the Vinaya rules of books 1 and book 2, very, very refined. The way we eat, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we sweep the floor, the way we see things, it's very refined. It's documented. It's documented. It's not refined because we are not refined. Our character is not refined. And we must admit that. Right? The Buddha's teaching is very, very refined. Very refined. That's why never try to downgrade the teachings of the Buddha. What was alarming is when a teaching come to a new place, right? They will start to say that, we don't need these rules, we don't need that rules, this one can be omitted, and in the end, nothing left. In the end, they will use the view of certain scientific research by certain people who is a lay people, for refuge. That got to be very careful. They will use all kinds of rationalized views to say that we don't have to observe these rules. Right? We must be careful because our mind is not purified yet. We still have defilement. We still have greed, hatred, and delusions. It's diluted. the Buddha already liberated. He has disbanded greed, hatred, delusion, totally eradicated from his mind. So it's very refined. He can know. But we don't know. So when we don't know, it's better that we just follow. We don't have to think. We leave the thinking to the Buddha. It's already been taught. Right? So a lot of things, you know, we must be careful when, especially in this era where things are so easy to come by, life is so comfortable, right? We can be very complacent very, very easily. And our mind will be taken, carried away by a lot of things externally, which we ourselves, if you're not careful, you will be burned. You will get burned. When I say get burned, doesn't mean you'll be burned by the fire. Burned by these thoughts of greed, hatred, delusion, this untrained mind will be easily swayed and go externally even without you being noticed of what is happening. It's there, out already. But you thought that it's okay, never mind, right? That's why when the Buddha said, never be complacent. Never be complacent. Always be mindful. Yeah? Always practice concentration practice. It is through concentration practice that you gain these foundations of the power of concentrations will enhance your mindfulness. Then you can detect whatever thought that arises. Then you can differentiate that you do or you don't do. What is the consequences if you do? What is the consequences if you don't do? And this is very, very important because we are practicing, we are training ourselves, right? No one can know better than our own mind. We know ourselves very well. Right? Certain time, when we are doing certain chores, when you're staying with a lot of people, be careful of what we say. If you stay alone, be careful of your own thoughts. It is true. You know why? If you stay alone in the wood, I'm going to relate certain experience of myself when I was a young monk. The mind will make up story. You should do this, you should do that. You know? And at first, I believe. Yeah, I should. Then in the end, after doing certain thing, I regretted. Eh? Why? Why? Because we are complacent. We've been carried away. We are not careful enough to think properly whether the consequences that are going to follow, what are the consequences? And can we tackle the problems if anything happen? Right. A lot of people say, don't think so much. You got to think. You better think. Right? You better think. When we say think, it's picharana. Yeah? Got one time, these lay people, they went to see Lompu Sim Puttacharo. You know, they like to ask for gatha. That means a verses of a chant. You chant these verses, you know, you have this supernatural power, blah, 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 blah. And they really believe that. So Lompu Sim want to teach them to be wise. Lompu Sim say, Om Picharana, Maha Picharana, Japai Japma, Hai Picharana Wai Kon. Everybody just was astonished. Why? So simple. Om Picharana. Picharana means you got to contemplate. Think about it. Contemplate, consider. Om Picharana, Maha Picharana. Maha is big. Big, that means you do it more. Contemplate more. Consider more. Think it over. Like what I've been saying, just mentioned just now. Before we do anything, we consider. We reflect. Do a lot of reflections. Before we do. Om Picharana, Maha Picharana, Japai Japma, Hai Picharana Vai Kon. Whatever thing we do, everything we go, wherever we're going to go, reflect on this. Why? I believe in the society of this Western society where we're given the choice to think, to make decisions, right? And this is very good. If you have in doubt, we always ask. It's unlike Asia, yes, man. Everything is here. No one dare to ask questions. Down here, they ask. This is very good. You know, we ask questions. When you ask questions, then you will clear your doubts. Because we have doubts. The practice is to clear the doubts from the mind. This is very, very important. Right? Because we cannot make believe. Sometimes the mind play trick. Huh? When you are alone, especially when you are alone. Go on, it's in turn. Right? I was so hungry for food. And this images of pork dumpling, fried char kway teow, Pepsi Cola, arise in front of me in the dark. You know, just like a video shot, they float in front of me. I sort of, hey, how come got this limita, this kind of food, like a menu in front of me? And it got smell some more. Got smell. Like real. So I reached out my hand. Eh? I can't catch it. Nothing. It just went through me. Passed me like that. So the mind get diluted. And then the mind say, maybe the deva pity me. Eh? Maybe the deva want to send someone to send some good food for me. You see? The mind start to make story. And I believe this story making of my mind. So I waited one day. 3 days, 7 days, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months. The minute I hit 2 months, I say, you stupid monk. Huh? You've been tricked by your own mind. See? So be careful about nimitta. Nimitta is visions that will arise in our meditations. Whether sometimes you're sitting or you dream, or when you walking meditations, when your mind is very, very concentrated, you can have nimitta while you are walking and standing because it perceives through the mind door. Very sharp. It's not a, it just come out like that. So you must be careful. Don't make assumption of what we see. Right? If something that's conducive for your practice of meditation, do lessen your greed, hatred, and delusion, by all means, it's good nimitta. But if something that increase or make your mind engross, right? Sometimes we might see the vision of a beautiful lady come in our meditations, sit, and, hey, wow, this very beautiful deva keeps smiling at you. And you got carried away by the nimitta. You thought that, wow, don't know from where. Nah? You see, your mind has already withdrawn from your object. Be careful. The minute you withdraw, your concentration dissipated right in front of you under your nose. Disappeared. No more concentration. This one must be careful. It can come in the form of noise to distract you. Smell. Fragrant smell, stink smell, your mind will, what is that? What is that? Finish. Right? So when you doing meditation, remember, just focus on your object of concentration. Focus on the object. Anything that comes along, just acknowledge, but don't get involved. Acknowledge, okay, there's this smell. There's this sound. There's this images arise, right? Or there's this kind of feeling. For example, goose pimple. Your body just flash. You know, all kinds of a symptom that will arise when our mind begin to enter concentration. These are the kind of hindrances that are going to drag you out from concentrations. So be careful. Be careful when you perceive anything, just acknowledge and back to your object. Back to this object. Your object, whether you are keeping the breath in mind, whether you put toe or whatever object, rising, falling, whatsoever, back to your object. Remember, a lot of people, they get hallucinated and they get engaged with the contents of the things, of the images, and they got carried away. Right? They got carried away and they make believe that they have supernatural power. They have connection with the divine beings. And your practice will go down to the drain. You know, a lot of people say that this guy is off his mind. Right? Already he doesn't practice mindfulness anymore. So, slowly your mind will digress. It doesn't progress anymore. And when the mind doesn't progress anymore, you don't find the life of a monk because you don't gain any happiness, any joy in the practice. You feel so dry, so unwelcoming, so disgusted. This is where, you know, your balloon got to burst. Your mind got to give up. This is where we call it Nibbana. Nibbana is hindrances and got to take over you. You start to find fault finding, you know, talk bad about your fellow friends, talk bad about people, gossiping, all kinds of things will start to come in. You better be careful when this thing happens. It mustn't, you must detect it. This thing could happen. Why? Because all these things ever happened to me when I was a young monk, right? We grumble. When you do a lot of chores, we start to grumble. We start to, why me? Why always me? Why? Why? It's not fair. We take the same food. Why always me? Never mind. You know, may the devas protect you. Believe me. Yeah. There was one incident in Rayong when I was staying with Achan Jeff. Right. There was monk, but very few monk would do the duty to clean up the whole monastery. It's very big, like 1 meter like that. But a lot of building we got to clean up. Every day I got to clean up. So, you know, we have a limitation. We start to get stressed out and the mind sort of enough. I'm going to leave this place. Shit. Shit to the place. And when I went up to the pagoda to meditate, right? I meditated and I saw these divine beings coming down from the heavens with flowers. They put in front of me and they bow down. So many, by the hundreds. So when I have this image, I got this kind of encouragement that, okay, no one appreciate me, but at least the devil appreciate. Okay, never mind. You know, we are just a very small boy, you know, unwanted child. I use this analogy. The mind is like an unwanted child. No one cares, right? So when we see that, the deva appreciated your contribution. Straight away, you have this, what we call encouragement, that, okay, I'm going to do it. No one do, I'm going to do. No problem. And it was very, very funny. After that incident, things changed. Things changed. You see, the mind state changed. Instead of doing things that grumble the whole day, it do it very happily. You know, we do things very happy. Not like last time. Last time we used to grumble. You know, living the life, supposed to be a happy life, become a very, very miserable life because we don't know how to handle ourselves. Right? Why I want to relate this story? It is because we are all brothers, monks. Like, Metta Forest Monastery is just our home. We got to sacrifice to help to make this place, to upkeep this place, to maintain this place, because these people that sacrifices their resources to support us, it is our duty to upkeep, right? So as to maintain it, upkeep it, so that the next generation of people, you know, the next batch of new people come in, they can be like us to enjoy the facility. They can be like us to learn the teachings of the Buddha. You see? And this kind of good spirit, this kind of good attitude, good ethics, we should encourage. Right? So new people come, they will know. So if we don't take the lead, then who gonna know? Nobody will know. You thought the people come, they will know automatically. They don't know. So when they are new, it is our duty to inform them, oh, this is the do and the don'ts, and your scope of responsibility is blah, 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 blah. And people will appreciate, okay. Yeah. Why we got to incorporate this kind of training, not just sitting there meditating, you know, then who wash the toilet? Who sweep the floor? Who do the maintenance? We are not hiring anyone. We got to bear the responsibility together. That's why this is called, when this is a non-profit organization, everybody must sacrifice some time, sacrifice some strength, your strength. You see, everything is supported by the kind people who want to support us, because we want to be good people, we want to be a better person. And in this society, good people will like to encourage good people. You see, they know that this moral teaching is decreasing, is lacking in the society. So they want this thing to be encouraged. They want to support, right? So it's our duty to show the way. So as we are monks, our duty is to discharge our duty as a monk. This is very important, right? If we can't do that, then who going to do? Nobody do. Everything, oh, we got to wait for Ta Chan to come. No. Ta Chan is getting old. We got to bear. Everybody got to play a part. Whether you are newcomer or old comer, doesn't matter, right? We are here for the same common approach, common intentions, that we want to do good, practice good, right? We want to purify our mind. No matter in what level you're going to do, we do it. And we do it happily. So we can create a kind of very peaceful, happy atmosphere. So everybody live like brother and sister. It's very, very, very healthy environment, you know. Like the sutta say, you look, who is older than you is our elder brothers or our parents. Younger than us, they are our younger brother or our younger sister. It's just like a big family like that. So you feel very comfortable when you stay. You have this kind of good attitude. You can stay happily. Why? Even have 1,000 people staying, no problem. Why? Because everybody know how to discipline themselves. Everybody observe the rules. Like this society, we have civil law. Why? So as to keep people check. If not, all these hooligans will behave the way they want to behave, then good people will be in trouble. That's why you got to have law for civil law. Then Vinaya for our monks. We got to have that very clearly. And that is the Vinaya for. That is the what we call the house rules for. If everybody observe, then no problem. You can have as many people as possible. The more the merrier, no problem. Where got problem? No problem. Because people stay here, they know what is their duty. What are they supposed to do? Then no problem, right? Then we can stay happily. Then we When we meditate, no remorse, no regret. Okay, no problem. Everywhere you go, same. But for people who don't know how to manage their mind, they will start to grumble, they will start to make comparison, this place with the other place, their place is better, our place is no good, blah, 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 blah. And in the end, who get burned? The place don't get burned. Your heart get burned. Your mind get burned. Yeah? You will start to make all kinds of criticism that this place is no good, Achan Jeff is no good, the lady is no good, the man is no good, this one is no good. Everybody no good. You yourself, you never see. You no good, you don't see. That's why when we look into ourselves, then we will know that when your mind start to have thoughts of other people, better be careful. This troublemaker is coming. You got to look at it properly. They look here, look here. The ground never say anything. The sky never say anything. The water, the sun never say anything. Who is talking now? Who is talking now? Always refer back. Why I like to use this method? It's very simple. Every time when my mind grumble, I say, hey, who are you? Who are you? Blah, 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 blah. Inside, a lot of remorse, a lot of unsatisfactory, a lot of stress. I say, hey, look here. Did the ground make any noise? No. Did the sky make any noise? No. Did the rain, the water make any noise? The temperature? No. Now, what's wrong with the leaf? What's wrong with the broom? Now, who is grumbling now? Straight away, the mind just, uh-oh. Eh? And again, another thought comes up. So this is the way we tackle. We tackle our own mind this way. Until you get used to it, until you have the joys of working, you have the joys of sweeping, the joys of mopping, the joys of washing the toilet. Everything you do, you feel very happy because why? You come here to practice. You must be happy. We sacrifice with happiness within our heart. This is something we can't buy with money. This is something it cannot be bought. It is through your willingness of doing certain things and be happy with what you're doing. You invest in something spiritual that can give you mental happiness. And this is very, very important. Wherever you go, no problem. Temple or forest, no problems. The problem is, how are you going to manage your own mind? Are you ready to go? If you're ready to go, why you want to go? What is the purpose of going? So this is, when we say meditation, is what? Cultivation. You must know how to throw in the right question. Don't throw in the wrong question that you can't answer. Then you will have trouble. When you're in the dead end, you just go round the bush. We can't find answer, and because of the ego, you know, I'm not going to give in. I'm not. This is titi. This is defilement ready. You're going to. They say, who get burned? The heart. That individual get burned. Nobody get burned. Everybody sort of, what happened? Don't know. What happened? Don't know. Why? Don't know. Yeah, right? This is what happened to all the center in the world. All the center. Not only America. When there's a human being, this is the type of problem human beings create and burn themselves. Right? So be careful. The dukkha, when we just now we chanted Tamacakapavattana Sutta. Suffering come from where? Suffered. The cause of suffering, the way, and the way to practice to end the suffering. Tok sabutai nirod mark. From where? You look at your own heart, study here. Right? When you do your chores, you see how it grumble, how you make story, how you make comments within ourselves. Not outside thing. Look inside here. Then you see, it's very, very interesting. Yeah? Very, very interesting. When we start to meditate, when we start to do self-observation of ourselves, sometimes we can smile and, you know, think, and say, she bloody, she's just an idiot inside me. You know, you can smile, but you know you're what you're doing. Then you can be matured in time to come, right? Now, we'll continue to meditate until the time is up. going with Tan Chip?
No, no. I'm taking my mother to the airport.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah. You are leaving... What time are you leaving tomorrow?
After the food.
Oh, after the meal. Okay.
I got to go Wapo.